would look in your order of service, you will see a sermon note sheet. And looking at that sheet, what is the title of our message for this Lord's Day?
Dream on.
Dream on. Say that again.
Dream on.
Now, have you ever shared a dream, a vision, or a goal with someone, and their response to you was kind of cynical, and they said, yeah, dream on. You know, like, yeah, sure, you're going to have that happen, yeah. Well, today we're going to talk about reaching. Everybody say reaching. Reaching for our dreams and the results of our persistence. But before we move on, let's join our hearts in prayer. Hallelujah. Precious Potter, we praise you and we thank you that you use ordinary people totally committed to you to make a difference in a changing world. Yes, one person in you can make a difference. And so as we now actively listen and then respond to the preaching of your word, may we rise to say, yes, Lord, I'll be that one to step out and to dream and to step out in faith and in action. For we know that life gets exciting, Lord, when we give you our all. Hallelujah. And when we do, you will take us beyond where we thought we could ever go to do things that we never thought we could do. So we say, praise your name, Lord. Oh, thank you. Make it so in each of our lives is our prayer this day. And all of God's saints join together to say, amen and amen, amen. A few years ago, saints, a study was made of 200 people that we would call very successful. And it was discovered that all 200 had one common denominator. Each one had dared to dream big dreams and then set goals and reach out to achieve those goals. Now, saints, approximately a week and a half ago, the world was introduced to a dreamer by the name of Susan Boyle. Now, Susan Boyle lives in a small town in Scotland, but she has wanted to be a singer ever since she was 12 years old. So, a week and a half ago, she breathed deeply and outran her fear to become a contestant in the popular show, Britain's Got Talent. Now, the show was founded 3 years ago by American Idol's Simon. Now, you most likely have seen Susan Boyle. How many have seen Susan Boyle? Praise God. All right. Amen. All right, but I want us to take a few moments and together watch this clip.
What's your name, darling?
My name is Susan Boyle.
Okay, Susan, where are you from?
I am from Blackburn near Bathgate, West Lothian.
It's a big town.
It's a sort of collection of, it's a collection of villages. That's a thing, yeah.
And how old are you, Susan?
I am 47. And that's just one side of me.
Okay, what's the dream?
I'm trying to be a professional singer.
And why hasn't it worked out so far, Susan?
I've never been given the chance before, but here's hoping it'll change.
Okay, and who would you like to be as successful as?
Elaine Page.
Elaine Page.
What are you going to sing tonight?
I'm going to sing I Dreamed a Dream from the Miserables.
Okay. Big song.
Yeah? Yeah.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
Didn't expect that, did you? No.
I dreamed of love that never died.
Because after she blew that kiss, she turned to walk off, and they're like, come back, come back. And behind the stage, they're saying, go back, go back. Oh, praise God. Oh, my. I love that Susan. You know, saints, she has given renewed hope to every person who has felt robbed of hope. As of last night, there were collectively all the websites that are showing that. There were over 100 million hits as of last night. And I think, saints, this sudden affection for her reminds us of what can happen when a person dares to dream, saints, when a person dares to step out on faith in action on that dream. Well, God bless Susan Boyle. You know, saints, in our Old Testament text that Rufus read for us this morning, Caleb was a dreamer as well, wasn't he? For 45 years, Caleb had been dreaming of this land that God had promised to him. So in our text for today, at 85 years old, everybody say 85 years old. 85 years old, he steps up and says, I want what God has promised to me. He had dreamed about it, saints, and now it was time for his dream to come true. You know, the Apostle Paul dared to dream. Dream of a world where all of humanity would be able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even though the Apostle Paul was persecuted, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was in prison, Paul kept following his dream. Martin Luther, founder of the Lutheran Protestant denomination, Martin Luther dared to dream of a church where the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ could be preached freely and common people like you and me could hear and understand and have our own Bibles and read the Word of God and study it for ourselves. And before Martin Luther died, millions of people were able to have their own Bible in their own language, in their own hands, to be able to read, study it for themselves. Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream. And when we think of Dr. King's, most of us remember his I Have a Dream speech during the March on Washington in 1963. Dr. King dreamed of a day when racial justice and equality would be the rule of the land. And saints, maybe today we have a dream too. As individuals and as a congregation, we need to see the greatness and the potential and the possibilities that God has set before us. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. So today, let's ask ourselves, how big is our dream? How big? big is our dream for our individual lives, our families, for our church? And what are we going to do about them? Well, saints, let's look more closely at this scripture. And as we do, I believe there's at least three lessons that we can learn from Caleb this day. Would you look at your sermon note sheet? And what is that first lesson that we can learn, saints? You are never too old to dream. We are never too old to dream. Would you high five your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, we are never too old to dream. We are never too old to dream. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like that, saints. I like that, saints. Praise God. Now, this first lesson is found in verse 10, where Caleb says, and let's read this verse together. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses. Well, Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. Oh, hallelujah, saints. Caleb teaches that we are never too old to dream. And I like that, saints. That encourages me to keep taking my Geritol. Hallelujah. That encourages me to keep eating right and getting on my bicycle. Hallelujah. We're never too old to dream, saints. Now, saints, most of us are familiar with George Foreman, the former heavyweight boxing champion. Now, you may not be a boxing fan, but you have to admire George Foreman. At least most of us here got a George Foreman grill. Amen. At least you can appreciate him for that. I sure do, and that's a nice grill. Amen. At least appreciate him for that. But now George Foreman is a preacher, praise God. But some years ago, at age 42, he came out of retirement to box once again in order to support his ministry. Foreman said, I decided to go back and challenge the heavyweight champion because I needed the money to build more recreation centers for young boys and to get them off the streets and out of trouble. Well, saints, at that time, Evander Holyfield, the heavyweight champion, was 28 years old, and he was 215 pounds. And I'm talking about a solid muscle. That was Evander Holyfield. George Foreman at that time was 42, and he weighed 257 pounds. And not all of it was solid muscle. Amen. Hallelujah. We know about that, don't we? Praise God. But that was a whole lot better than the 350 pounds he was when he started going into training. He was 350 pounds when he decided he was going to go fight Evander. He was 350, so at least 257 was better than 350. Now, boxing experts said that he didn't stand a chance. No way could the old and slow Foreman, could he beat, all right, this Evander, or even go two or three rounds. They didn't even give him past three rounds. But on that night, Foreman stepped into the ring. And when the bell rang, ding, ding, saints, at the end of the 12th round, hallelujah, he was still on his feet. Praise God. 42 years old. Praise God. I just love it. I love it. George Foreman, no, he didn't win the fight. But as the two fighters embraced in the center of the ring at the end of the fight, the entire crowd in the arena stood up and gave them a standing ovation in appreciation of both boxers and the battle they had waged. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And saints, I like what Foreman said afterwards when he was being interviewed. He said, I lost the fight, but as long as you're alive, you can dream. Hallelujah! High five your neighbor and say, neighbor, as long as we're alive, we can dream. As long as we're alive, we can dream. Oh, yes, we can. We can dream. And you know, I doubt if that will go down in the world's book of famous quotes, but that's not bad. That's not bad, George Foreman. That's not bad. And what do you say? We're never too old to dream. So now, if we're never too old to dream, then the truth is we're never too young to dream either, young people. Never too young to dream. So whether you're 10, 18, 25, or 85, there is a time to dream. There's a time to see what is God's will for your life and then to follow that dream. Which leads us into the second lesson, which is what, saints? Amen. God never just drops dreams in our laps and says, here they are. There is a second lesson here in Caleb at 85, 45 years later in verse 11. And let's read this together. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Hallelujah. Praise God, saints. Wouldn't you like to be able to say something like that at 85? I know I would. Amen. So take care of yourself. Do if you need Geritol, take it. Amen. Exercise. Eat right. Amen. Live in the commands of the Lord. Amen. So we see here, he's saying that I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Caleb was either an awful liar, saints, or the Lord had really blessed him with good strength and power. Praise God. But I want us to notice the main point of this verse. Caleb realizes that even though this land had been promised to him by God, the only way, everybody say only way, only way for him to get the land is by going into battle. Saints, that's true of our dreams too. If we dare to dream big, never think that God is just going to drop that dream right in your lap. Saints, we've got to work for it. We got to roll up our sleeves. We got to do some sweating. We got to do some straining for it. Hallelujah. We must be willing to do things that we never thought we could do in order to accomplish our dreams. Praise your name, Lord. And there will always, everybody say always, always be giants before us. All right, in David's life, it was more than one giant. Goliath wasn't the only giant David had to fight. And in our lives as well. For an example, there is the giant of opposition. Everybody say opposition. Opposition. Every time you try something new, there'll be always somebody who'll see you and then they'll say, you know what? What you think you doing? What you think you're going to get accomplished? Every time you try to explore a new field, someone's going to say, oh, girl, oh, man, that ain't going to work. You foolish for even trying that. There are always people in the background who are willing to criticize anyone who has a dream and is expending effort to try to make that dream come true. Yes, there are many giants, saints, big giants in the land. But Caleb said, bring on the giants. Hallelujah. I'm ready for them. Bring them on. Bring them on. And friend, if you want the land, giants must be evicted from in front of you. Just say, get out, giant. I'm kicking you out. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now, saints, it moves into our third lesson, which is? Amen. God will help us accomplish our dreams in harmony with God's will. So finally, here is the third lesson. It's found in verse 12. Let's read this verse together. Caleb says, to give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Amen. He knew they was about to get evicted. Those giants was on their way out. Amen. Saints, we aren't giant killers. But guess what? Everybody say, but God. But God specializes in killing giants. Thank you, Lord. You specialize in killing giants. We look in the Word of God. Everybody say, God. God helped Moses, who was a stuttering Moses, to become the deliverer of all of the people of God. Everybody say God. God enabled Gideon with only 300. 300 soldiers armed with pitchers and trumpets to be able to defeat the armies of the Midianites. Everybody say God. God enabled young, untrained David with only a piece of rawhide and a smooth stone to be able to defeat the giant Goliath. Hallelujah. Everybody say God. God enabled the apostles and all of the early saints, armed with only the good news of the gospel, to be able to overcome the Roman Empire and turn the world upside down. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. And saints, I'm convinced that God will help us too. Amen. If we're willing to make the effort. Amen. God tells us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I will help you accomplish your dreams. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Saints, I want us to consider this. Walt Disney was fired by a newspaper editor for lack of ideas. This happened in his life. Walt Disney also went bankrupt several times before he built Disneyland. Michael Jordan, perhaps the greatest basketball player of all time, but Cleveland is about to change that, amen. But he did not make his high school basketball team his sophomore year. He tried out and did not make it. Michael Jordan, and look at our Michael. Beethoven's teacher called him hopeless as a composer. We don't know the teacher's name, but we know Beethoven now, don't we? We know Beethoven. Winston Churchill faced and failed the sixth grade. Winston Churchill failed the sixth grade. He did not become prime minister until he was 62. Ooh, I like that. His greatest contributions came when Winston Churchill was a senior citizen. Praise God. Henry Ford failed and went broke 5 times before he finally succeeded with the Ford Motor Company. Went bankrupt 5 times. So today, saints, we're talking about reaching our dreams and the result of persistence. Everybody say persistence. Persistence. It must have been an exciting time for the Israelites to be able to finally walk into the promised land. They had been in that desert just walking around and roaming for 40 years, and it was time for them to move out of that desert, to cross over the Jordan, and enter into the land of Canaan. Yes, there had been discouragement in their lives and disappointments along the way. How many have experienced some disappointment? How many experienced some discouragement on your journey? Hallelujah. Amen. So we can relate. Amen. But now it was time. Some of us indeed have had setbacks. We've had disappointments along our journey. But I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the time has come. The time has come for you to enter into your promised land. Hallelujah. The time has come for you to enter into your promised land. Now high five your neighbor and say, neighbor, reach for your dreams. Reach for your dreams. Reach for your dreams. Praise God. And God is the source of all dreams. Oh, my goodness, the dreams for the betterment of this world and for the human society. Saints, you and I, we should have a dream. Dreams involve purposes for living. Without a purpose for living, life is dull, it's boring, and it's dull, just drab. Without a purpose for living, we lose all hope for life. But as you today ponder your dream, I want you to invite God into your dream. Just say, oh, Lord, Lord, come into my dreams. Oh, speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Now, saints, some of our dreams, they're kind of frivolous. Some of them lack reality, you know, and substance. Because some people, they only dream of winning the mega lottery. That's their dream. They're going to win the lottery. You know, I believe life would change if you hit the lottery. Life would indeed change. But considering the odds, I would say don't bank on it, you know. Don't bank on it. But I tell you, it's a lot of people banking on it. Every time I go to the store, I'm waiting in these lines. And we have to wait, especially at the pharmacy. We got to wait for people buying all them lottery tickets. And it's like the line be halfway down, and all these people, I'm just trying to get my prescription, all right? But no, it's a lot of people banking on that lottery. But saints, God gives us dreams, amen, which can be accomplished because they're products of God's desires. Dreams that spring from God's plans and purposes for our lives. So in the first place, we need to ask God, show us your dream for my life, oh God. Show me. And you know, saints, I'm convinced that when God gives you a dream, God gives me a dream, it's for our benefit and the benefit of others. Amen. God gives dreams to men and to women and to young people who will work to put those dreams into action. The great accomplishments of this world have come from dreamers. Everybody say dreamers. Dreamers that God has chosen. God is the source of all truth. God is the source of all wisdom. So ask God to show you God's dream for your life. Now, every time our family gets together, Christmas, 4th of July, whenever we get together, Mother is always gathering us and says to us, she says, all right, who's got the invention for our family? She says, now, with all of us, there ought to be a dream of an invention. Now, she says, other people have come up with inventions. We can come up with an invention, too. Then she starts calling our names out. That's so embarrassing. No, I don't have an invention. I don't have a dream. But she calls us to that. Because she says, others have dreams and visions and inventions. We could have them, too, praise God. Amen. Keep asking it, Mother. Keep asking it. Saints, maybe God has awesome dreams for this church. Praise your name. Today is a very special day in the life of the church. Oh, we're so delighted for New Life to be here with us. God is about to do a new thing in our church. Oh, God is about to do a great thing in our church. So let God put God's dreams in all of us for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And saints, let's not be lulled into complacency. We can be lulled into complacency by the accomplishments of our past. We can keep looking back. Oh, yeah, we did that. Oh, yeah, and then we get lazier and lazier. Or we can get lulled into complacency about, oh, yeah, our status in the present, so that could make us get lazy. Saints, complacency. Everybody say complacency. Complacency is the enemy of dreams. It's the enemy of dreams. We have dozens and dozens of activities and ministries in the life of this great church. Just take a look at the bulletin. Take a look at the website. You can see the many programs and outreaches and activities that we have. And our outreach extends not only into the heart of the Cleveland area, but it just goes all the way all over the world, praise God. All the way over the world. And God still has dreams for each of us individually and for all of us collectively together as a church. God has dreams for us together to be an even better church than we've ever been. Let's just praise God ahead of time that God is going to just see us to being a better church than we've ever been. And I want you to high five your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's dream time. It's dream time. It's dream time, neighbor. It's dream time. And I want us to ask God to show us God's dream for this church. Ask God to use you after God shows you in bringing God's dream to realization. But you may say, how could my dream make a difference? How might my dream make a difference? Friend, if God shows you a dream for our church, God can use you to fulfill that dream. Hallelujah. Because one person with a God-given dream, amen, can change a whole church. And if enough people catch the dream for God, miracles can happen. How many want to see miracles in your life? Miracles in our church. Miracles in the community. Miracles in the world. Well, saints, today we don't know what all God is going to do, but God knows. I want us to look around and ask God to put God's dream in you for this church. One thing that God wants to give all of us is God's dream that we might have a closer relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus has a dream, saints, that we might love him more dearly, hallelujah, and that we might all follow him more closely. And God has given a dream that we may develop a closer relationship with our family. How many would like a closer relationship with your family, with your spouse? Shout, shout, Hoo-hoo. If you want one with your spouse, hoo-hoo, a better relationship with your spouse. Think of how you would like to be better. Ask God to make it so. Dream it. Amen. Hallelujah. Whatever it is you'd like to see happen, just claim it. What about in our children? Amen. A closer relationship with our children. Say, hoo-hoo. Hallelujah. Hoo-hoo. Oh, yes. Amen. We're the family God. How about a closer relationship with your parents? Woo, amen. How about a close relationship with extended family? Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Anybody else got anything you want to just shout out? How about friends? Woo, how about coworkers? Woo, how about classmates? Woo. We must be doing good with the classmates. Praise God. But dream what you would like to see happen in those relationships. Because God has a dream that we might share with one another and support each other in those dreams. Saints, I believe that God uses dreamers to do great things. Do you have a dream today? Do you have a dream today? Ask God to show you God's dream for your life. Now, saints, I don't want to forget the fourth lesson here in this passage, and that is, don't expect your dream to come true in a short time. Amen. Saints, dreams sometimes take a long time to come. Amen. In the first service today, Mr. McLean, he told me that he had a dream. He said God gave him a dream, and God allowed him to live and to see his dream come to fruition. He said many years ago, he dreamed that the United States of America would have a black president. And he said, oh, my. God waited a long time. But he said God allowed him to see his dream come true. Praise God. Praise God. And you know, one of my dreams is, I'm dreaming one day there's going to be a female president. That's my dream. And it's going to happen because I believe God put it in me. Amen. I might have to run myself. Amen. So I know y'all would go with me, right? All the way to Washington. Praise God. I might have to do it. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Whatever it takes, Lord. Praise God. Larry would be my campaign manager, and he would get me to the top. He would get me there. Praise God. He would get me there. Praise God. Sometimes we have to wait for our dreams to come true. Amen. I want you to remind your neighbor right now. Say, neighbor, nothing happens overnight. Nothing. Nothing happens overnight. Changes are sometimes slow in happening. We look in the Word of God, Job dreamed for the day when his troubles, his pains would be over. But Job had to wait for his change to come. Praise your name, Lord. But says God will sustain you when your dream is in waiting stage. God will keep you. God will keep you. And God works the dream out in God's own way, in God's own time. God may not come when you want God, but God always Eula on time. And maybe the dream doesn't come true as you hoped it would. But let God's will be done. Say, God's will be done. And God's will be done. In the book of Genesis, we see that even Joseph's dream did not come completely true. For there was a time when the people were enslaved and persecuted in Egypt. And God had to raise up another dreamer by the name of Moses. Hallelujah. To accomplish God's dream for God's people. Sometimes, yes, the dreamers die. But saints, the dream never dies. The dream never dies. We may have to turn and pass the dream on to others, as did Dr. King. And even the charter members of this great church, the charter members way back in 1962, they had a dream for this congregation. But they did not see all of them get to see it rise to its present state. They had to pass the dream on to others who passed it on to others. And over all of these years, praise God, the Lord has been working out God's dream for this church. Yes, we may pass our dream on to others, but God's dreams never die. Never die. Dr. King, the dreamer, was killed. He was assassinated. But Dr. King's dream still lives on. The dream has been passed on to others, amen, who will work to accomplish that wonderful dream. Yes, dreamers may die, but dreams do not die, saints, because they are conceived in the mind and in the will of Almighty God. Do you, my friend, have a dream today? In our Old Testament text, God had promised Caleb the mountain of Hebron. And when the people reached that promised land, they got to the land. Caleb told Joshua, "Joshua, take me to that mountain. Where is that mountain?" And Caleb told Joshua, "I'm 85 years old. I'm just as strong and vigorous as I ever was. Give me that mountain. I'm going to take it." Caleb would not let the dream of that mountain die out. Saints, keep on climbing the mountain of your dreams. High five your neighbor and say, keep on climbing the mountain of your dreams. Keep on climbing the mountains of your dreams. In closing, let me say, dream on, church. Dream on. There was my favorite movie over all the years was Climb Every, The Sound of Music. I just loved that as a little girl and going through life. And one of the nuns, she was singing it to Maria. And she said, climb every mountain, ford every stream, follow every rainbow till you find your dream. My friend, put God in your dream and go ahead and climb that mountain. Go ahead and ford that stream and follow every rainbow until you find your dream. Dream on, church! Dream on! High five your neighbor right now and just say, dream on, neighbor. Dream on, neighbor. Dream on, neighbor. And let God put God's dream in each and in all of us. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.